pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, you are indeed good, Lord.
Yes, you are.
Thank you for your love for us, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for calling us and choosing us, Lord. Lord, we just commit this portion of this gathering to you, Lord. Lord, we gather in your name, Lord, and because of you. Thank you, Lord, that if it were not for you, Lord, we don't know where we'd be today, Lord Jesus. But it's because of you, Lord, we can even come together today, Lord. And we are so grateful to you. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, encourage our hearts, Lord. With your words, we are your people, Lord. We are your church, Lord. We are your body, Lord. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you, Lord. And thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Be seated. Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. When Reverend Bobby saw me this morning, he says, "Is there anything I can do for you?" I said, "Well, can you make the rapture happen, like in the next few minutes?" The only thing that could save me at this point. Like, okay. No, so you know, God is good. Thank the Lord for that we're among friends, among family this morning. And, you know, while when Pastor gave the request, it's like, sure. and it's like, okay, Lord, you know, I love my pastor, and I will do anything to serve and make sure that he is encouraged and blessed and rested, you know, for the work. So if this is my little part, then I can do a little part to do this. And so by God's grace, and it's not about me anyway. And the Lord has showed me that, you know, it's not about me. Very little of this is about any of us, right? And may the Lord just speak to our hearts and encourage all of us this morning with his word and his presence. We know that he's with us because with two or three gathered in his name, he is with us. And surely we are gathered in his name this morning. You know, when I was praying about, Lord, what do I say, Lord? Where do I start, Lord? You've done so much. Lord, I'm terrified that I'm not able to stop talking about you. Because, Lord, you are just too amazing. And so I started, you know, the passage from Psalms 34 came to mind when he said, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears." And that has been a verse that the Lord has been using for many years, because in my relationship with him, he showed me that I got a lot of fears and that he's aware of those fears and that he is part of his working in my life is to deliver me from those fears. But as I was thinking about that verse and thinking about all the fears the Lord has delivered me from, that first part of the verse says, "I sought the Lord." And I didn't sit well with me because it sounded like I initiated this thing. And it's like, Lord, that is so far from the truth. That if I sought you at all, it's because you sought me out first. He initiated. He started this whole process. And that's where we wanted to start this morning. I had started a list of things, and then the Lord said, "No, that's really not it." So I was like, "Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. I'm just yours, Lord. And whatever you want to say, Lord, to me and to us." So if you can turn with me to 1 John, the fourth chapter. The scripture that was read this morning, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And the topic that came to me was the very heart of God is love. That's his very heart. The very heart of God is love. And in 1 John 4, verse 9, it says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Skip forward to verse 19. We love because he first loved us. And that's where just wanted to start this morning, is that he initiated with us. And if we were to go back and look at what happened in the very beginning in his relationship with man, he created everything. He created things that were seen and unseen. And then he made man. And he did something very different when he made man. And he gave man the will to choose. And if we were God, we wouldn't have done it that way, probably, because we want things to go a certain way. And, you know, when you see things like the stepford wives and all this kind of, we want to program everything so that it benefits us. And I don't really understand what God did and how he did it this way to give man free will, but he wanted to have a relationship with us. And I don't understand it all, or even, you know, probably not very much of it, but somehow he wanted to be able to commune with God, with us. And, you know, all of creation is very programmed and very predictable. That's why we can study science, because there's a, if something happens this way, then science says then it's going to happen this way all the time. And he made it very predictable. But for man, he did it different. He gave us the ability to commune with him, talk with him. When I was reading it in Genesis, that he came in the garden and he said to Adam, he said, where are you, Adam? And he already knew where he was. But he was in a relationship, and he chose to have a relationship with us. And it's like, I don't really understand why, but I'm glad that he did, because, you know, how can a God that doesn't live in time communicate or have a relationship with those of us who are living in time? How can a God that is from the beginning, created everything, have a relationship or commune with us who are living in time, in the realm of time and space? How does he work it all out so that we understand what he's doing? So one of the things he did was he gave us a relationship with him. A relationship is something that we can understand as humans. We have the ability to fall in love. And so one of the things that God did in relationship with us, he says, okay, I'm going to show you the depth of my love. If we want to think about who he is the greatest lover of all time. The word says God is love. So he's in this relationship, he wants to communicate his love to us. So how does he do that? We skip ahead in time, and we know that he sent his one and only Son. But he had to bring us along through time to make it really matter. This relationship with him, to really make it significant, he had to bring us through time. So in Ephesians, it says he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Why is it important that he initiated with us and that he decided to have a relationship with us? And one of the reasons why it's important that we know that he's the one that reached out to us and he's the one that chose us and he's the one that decided to have a relationship with us is because if it's his idea, then he's going to make it happen. Since it's his idea, he is vested in this thing called relationship with us. If it's his idea to have a relationship with us, it's more dependent on him than on us. So he initiated this relationship. He gave us the will to choose to have a relationship with him. And throughout time, he has been working with humanity so that he can woo us back to him. And part of his dealings with us, being God, he could have said, okay, you will worship me, you will serve me, you will honor me, but he doesn't do it that way. And as I was thinking about my relationship with him, he woos me as a lover. He entreats me. He brings me along so that it makes sense for me to worship him. He didn't just command me to worship him, but he inspires me to worship him. And, you know, in this relationship, it really blows my mind that he wants to have a relationship with me and that he sought me out to do this. He sought us out to do this. Because he didn't have to have a relationship with us. Amen. He is God, and we know, as we've said, you know, all by himself. But he had this special thing that he wanted to accomplish so that we could really know who this God is. Who is this God that made everything? What is love all about? How do we know what true love is? And for that answer, we can look to him. He shows us what true love is. As he dealt with the Israelites, he kept doing wonderful things, and you know, they would, you know, praise him and then go back, and you know, the whole story of mankind and how he brought Israel out, it's like, God, why did you allow them to do that? Because he is in a relationship. He's interested in the relationship, not in the domination. He is God. He made everything. He's already proven who he is. But he wants us to be in companionship with him. He wants us to reach out to him willingly because we know we want what he has. And so he has been dealing with us and with man in this love relationship, showing us his very heart, that his very heart is love. Having a relationship, thinking back about the natural relationship, courted, you know, when that person decided they wanted to be with us, they do a lot of crazy things in the name, a lot of crazy things have been done in the name of love, right? And the Song of Solomon's in the Old Testament is thought to be an allegory of the love God has for Israel, the love Christ has for his church. And in that song, that Song of Solomon, it says just a simple glance makes a heart beat faster. You know, we remember that, those, you know, if you've fallen in love before, you know, that person walks into the room, you pretend you don't know they're there. But you know they're there, right? You try not to act different, but it's different because they're there. And the Lord says, that's the way it is with me and you. My heart beats faster being with you. I really love you. And I'm going to show you the full extent of that love by coming and dying. That's the epitome. I'm going to give my life for you. Now, you know, many of us would do that for love. We go through a lot of things. You know, my husband's here this morning, and when the Song of Solomon, when he was, you know, courting me, he would, he knows I like scriptures, so he would send me little passages from the Song of Solomon. And it's like, okay, yes. Yes, trying to win. And the Lord gives us human love in order for us to, you know, gives us a more of a better understanding of his divine love. Although his divine love far surpasses any human love. Man, the crown and glory of all God created, was given the will to choose. He could have programmed us to love him or commanded us to be subject to him, but instead he woos and amazes us with his love demonstrated on the cross. There is an example of God reaching out and showing in order to show us how he wants to have a relationship with us, and that was in John, the fourth chapter. If you can turn, we're going to spend a lot of our time in John, the fourth chapter. Jesus's encounter with the Samaritan woman. And, you know, when it comes to having a relationship with God, I've heard about it for many years now, that God wants to have a relationship with me, but it's still kind of hard for me to realize on a day-to-day basis that he's serious about this relationship with me, and that he is more interested in having a relationship with me than I am in having a relationship with him. And that he is going to, it's going to take all eternity for him to show us just how much he wants to be with us. And he's, in this example, in here, the Samaritan woman, Jesus, when he came on the scene, he came to give his life. He came on the scene, and he was very different than anyone, any of them had ever met before. And he was God in the flesh, but yet he became a man. And we'll never know exactly what that meant for him to take on humanity. But he did it in the name of love. When he came on the scene, he changed a lot of the status quo of the day. There were a lot of cultural things that, you know, people did things a certain way, and that's the way they really believe in those things. But he had a mission of love that he wanted to communicate. And this, his encounter with the Samaritan woman is actually one of my favorite passages in Scripture because of Jesus' dealing with women. And one of my fears, one of my secret fears that the Lord has shown me is that I said, Lord, are women second class citizens? Are we less than? Really? You know, when we go into our relationship with the Lord, there are things that are hidden in us that he brings out to the surface so that he can bring his truth and light to. And one of those for me was just being created as a woman. You know, I was the only girl in a family of many boys. One of my brothers is here today, three brothers. And as a little girl, I wanted to be a boy. Boys had more fun. They didn't have to do the stuff that I had to do. In my home, my father had very distinct, you know, rules for what girls did and what boys did. Girls do not run, climb trees, and you can hurt yourself. And also girls who took care of the inside, and the guys took care of the trash and those kind of things. I was like, I want to do that kind of stuff. I want to climb the trees and so forth. But anyway, you know, the Lord did a special thing when he created man and woman. And his idea of what he created is so different than what we establish as human beings. So anyway, this in the fourth chapter of John, verse 4, he said that now he had to go through Samaria. The King James said he must needs go through Samaria. And he said he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. When, this is verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And I just, you know, this encounter is so wonderful because Samaria, there was a lot, Samaritans or Samaria was an area that had a lot of, there was a lot of struggles going on in Samaria. The Samaritans were Jews, but they were mixed breed Jews. They had adopted, the history of the Samaritans is that when Israel was conquered by the Assyrians, they put them in this little place, Samaria. They intermingled with, and they brought in a lot of other captives too. Some of those captives, they worship other deities. So the Jews that were put within Samaria, they took on, they worshiped God, but they also started worshiping some of the other deities. So the pure Jews didn't really want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. It was so bad that if, you know, where Samaria was located, instead of the pure Jews going through Samaria, they would cross over the Jordan River and go around so they wouldn't have to pass through Samaria because there were some people there that they didn't want to have any association with. They weren't pure anymore. Okay? So also Samaria, the fact that this was a woman, that also at that day, you know, you didn't, Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher. You didn't talk to women. Okay, there was, you know, this this wonderful book that was given to me by Neola, you know, Women in the Bible. It goes through all this history about the times and about how, you know, women, you know, you really didn't talk to them because, you know, you if you gazed at them, they could do some things to you, you know, as rabbis. So they really, if you were going to even have any dealings with women, you didn't look at them in the eye. Okay, and then the fact that she was a Samaritan women were considered to be unclean. You know, Jewish custom, when women were having periods, men didn't have any dealings with them because they were considered to be unclean. This was the term called nida, whatever it was. But Samaritan women were considered to be unclean perpetually. All the time. It was like they were perpetually on their period. So that double reason not to have anything to do with them. Jesus comes on the scene. Okay, first of all, he goes through Samaria. Not supposed to go through Samaria, Jesus. And you're talking to a woman and a Samaritan woman at that. And, you know, when I read this, it was like, what do you have that you think Jesus really don't want to have anything to do with? What is it about us that we think, oh, no, Jesus can't have anything to do with that? It's too much for him. This is that part of my, that's just something that I have to keep. He can't go into that room in my house. But he came to have a relationship, and there was nothing that was going to keep him from talking to this woman. The Samaritan woman in verse 9 says, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. I am a Samaritan, a woman, and a Samaritan woman." She has three strikes against her. "How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews don't associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And see, what I like about this is that Jesus he could have said, I am the Christ. But he talked to her about something that she understood. She understood about thirst. I understand about being thirsty. Okay. And that's what he does in his relationship with us. He says, I understand about loneliness. I understand about neediness. I know where you're living right now. I know where you've been. I got it. And so, you know, she says, okay, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will be in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I got something for you. You think you know about water. You think you know about getting your thirst quenched. And see, that's what the Lord has done with us in this relationship with him. He says, you think you're having a good time there? You think that's a good time? I got a good time for you. And in this relationship with him, the Lord has convinced me that what he has is better. And that what he has is enough. Are you thirsty, Grace? Are you thirsty? I have what you need. I'm going to satisfy your eternal thirst. Not just this temporal thirst, this temporary thirst. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. She's still... You know, this is her reality, the temporal here. This is our reality, too. And the Lord, he's about to blow her mind, just like he has blown our mind. You know, when the Lord called us to himself, we thought that that was the it. But now we know that it was just the beginning. This was just the beginning of what I have for you. Come to me and keep on coming. Amen. Yes. Amen. So Jesus still, you know, he's having a relationship with this woman. He wasn't done yet. He told her about the living water. He said, go call your husband and come back. She said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Okay. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you... Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. She's kind of diverting. Okay, Jesus, okay. Let's not talk about the fact where I am right now. Yes, somehow you realize I got issues. I got issues, Lord. And you know, sometimes when the Lord in this relationship with him, the Lord starts to go deeper with us and starts to show us things. And it's uncomfortable. But the Lord doesn't just leave us there. He is bringing us. He is holding us. He is carrying us along, bringing us to a place where we see that it's all about him. He's got this. He knows. He asks questions that he already knows the answers to. But, you know, being God, he has to deal with us in the level where we are. Just like back in the garden, he said, Adam, where are you? He knew where Adam was. Go call your husband. He knew. He knows. We don't have to hide anything from him. And in our relationship with him, you know, as we're talking to God, you know, sometimes we're talking to God about stuff. Lord, you know, this traffic. Lord, this traffic is just horrible. Lord. And I'm whatever it is you're talking about, but, you know, we're in relationship with God, and I know that I can talk to God about anything. So sometimes I talk to him about the traffic. And, you know, the Lord is like, how come this person gets in front of me, Lord?
Right.
Why is this happening to me right now? And the Lord is like, well, you got some patience issues, Grace. No, I don't. I was patient the other day in that situation. But right now, you know, so how are you going to deal with this situation? I see we're in relationship. So the Lord, it may seem mundane to you or me, but the Lord, he's in relationship with me, and he has an agenda with me in his relationship with me that he's working it out. He's working stuff out. So anyway, she diverts Jesus. Jesus, now the Jews, they claim that they got some weird claims on worship. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. We can talk about worship, Jesus says. Let's talk about worship, so that's what you want to talk about right now. You see, in my relationship with you, my intent was not for you to follow all these laws. My intent was to write my laws on your heart. Yes. So that from your heart, yes, you worship me.
Yes.
So let's talk about these laws, this rule where you had, yeah, the Jews think, you know, they want you to go to Jerusalem, and yeah, you Samaritans, we're talking about this. Guess what? There's a time coming when you're going to worship me, it won't matter where you are. It don't matter. And he breaks it down to us. He's, you know, the things that we thinking, God, I got to do this way, or God, I don't have this right. He's like, you know what? It don't matter. I'm in relationship with you. I want to be with you perpetually. And, you know, when I was reading this part about the worship, last Sunday was such a glorious, glorious, glorious worship. And we sang the song, I Stand Amazed, in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And, you know, we were just, I'm not sure I'm doing this, worshiping the Lord. And then we, after the morning service, we took the worship service on the road. Our dear sister Keisha is sick and shut in, and so the worship team went to have worship service with her after service last Sunday.
What a time.
And you know, we were singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. And we were singing in her little living room, and the worship was great. It was hot.
Yeah.
Woo! The Lord was with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, after we were singing, Ashton area, who's standing over there, we went to give a hug. She says, I can't even hug you right now. I'm just so full up. And, you know, the tears, I was like, yes, the Lord is amazing. His love, his joy. We didn't have to go to the mountain. We didn't have to go anywhere. How many of us in our cars, when the Lord shows us something, and the joy spills up and the Lord reveals something to us, or he calms some fear in us, or he makes something that was so significant insignificant. The Lord shows his light and we just have to worship him. It's like, oh, okay, Lord, I got to pull over, Lord, because, Lord, you are too much, Lord. He is in relationship. He initiated this thing. He wants it more than we want it. He wants that constant. It's not enough for him. It's not enough that, you know, anytime, you know, I like to spend some time with the Lord, you know, get away and just focus on him. And, you know, then I'm like, okay, I got some other stuff I'm going to do. But you know what? I'm going away from that time with the Lord. I just want to stay in that spot, not leave it, because there is just something about having undistracted time with him. This can't even explain it. You read one thing, and that's the only thing you can read, because it's just so much in it that the Lord is feeding you with. So Jesus, you know, says, let's talk about worship. I got worship. We want to talk about the husband situation. We want to talk about the worship. Let's talk about that, because I'm intent on having a relationship with you today. And the fact that you're a woman, a Samaritan woman, is not going to dissuade me. It's not going to get me out of here. And the Lord says that to us. Yeah. You got hang-ups. You got problems. You don't understand. You don't get it. But I'm committed to this. I'm committed to this relationship with you. I'm committed to this relationship with you. I want you. My heart beats faster when I think about you. You can't, it doesn't make sense, but it's the truth. Yeah, you're working on these things. You got these things you're trying to get better at. But guess what? It don't matter. I love you, and my love for you is not going to end. It's just never going to end. It just can't end, because I'm God, and I love you with a God love. I love you with a God love, the same love that I created this world with. That's the kind of love I have for you. It's going to take eternity for you to understand how much love I really have for you. Lord, I want to know that love. The woman said, now, come along. He said, I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he's going to explain everything to us. And Jesus says, okay. I who speak to you, that's me. That's me. You know, the Lord, he is just so awesome. No, when I was reading about the history of Samaria, I was like, wow, Lord, you said, I got to go through there. You know, there are places that we don't want to go. There are people that we don't want to associate with. You know, those places and those people are not too much for the love of God. They're not too much for the love of God. We're not too much for the love of God. We're not too messed up for the love of God. Jesus' disciples, they returned and were surprised to find him talking with the woman. But no one asks. So yeah. They're learning. Yeah. Okay, Jesus is doing something a little different here. Okay. But, okay, okay, we're not going to ask about this. What do you want? No one said that. Well, why are you talking to her? They didn't say it. They wanted to, but You know, they're learning. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. First of all, they probably knew about this woman. They probably knew her situation. She was probably not, you know, considered the epitome of society. You know, in towns, small thing about towns is that everybody knows everybody's business. And it's probably not less true here in this situation. But she was all excited about something. So let's go see. Something's got her all riled up today. And so the disciples, though, urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." He said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." I'm having this relationship with this woman here today. That's my food today. That's my passion today. That's what I am intent on today. This woman, she needs me. She needs to know that it doesn't matter anymore. I am the life. I am the life. I am the water that she's been thirsting for. She didn't get it in husband 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
That's right.
She was trying to get it.
She was trying.
Yeah, she was determined. I'm going to get this thing right. But Jesus says, that's not where you're going to be satisfied. I'm the only one that's going to satisfy you. He is the only one that can satisfy us. It's not in that person. It's not in that promotion. It's not in that whatever. It's not there. It's in him. And he wants it more for us than we want it for ourselves. Bless his name. And that's my food today, he explained to his disciples. That's my food. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And then going on down, it says, no, just finishing up this, many of the Samaritans, in verse 39 says, from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. The Samaritan. The Samaritan woman. When Jesus came on the scene, changed everything. Everything. It wasn't just about, it's enough what he did with her. But the whole standing of women in that culture, Jesus said, what matters is me. I am the life giver. What matters is me and my agenda for you. Because of the woman's testimony, he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. Now, you know, he wasn't even supposed to be in this town. While you know, we haven't had any Jews here in forever. Stay, Jesus. Jesus said, okay, now he wasn't in a hurry to get out of that situation. And hard to believe. You know, sometimes we think, because we think he thinks like us, he can only bear to be in this situation for a little time because it's pretty yucky. It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Okay, my thoughts, Lord, are so bad. I mean, I can't even bear them. Yeah, no. I can be so mean and so uncaring. Lord, I'm committed to this relationship with you. He is vested. He chose us before the creation of the world. He saw us. And it's hard for us to even imagine that. He doesn't just see the lump of us, but he sees Michael. He's committed to Michael. He is committed. If Michael were the only one on earth, he would have still taken on the form of a man to come so that Michael can have life. He's committed to his relationship with us. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." He really is. He speaks for himself. And sometimes, you know, I'm like, Lord, I just want to share your gospel. I just want others to come to know you. And he's like, no, don't get pressured about it, Grace. I'm the Savior, not you.
Right, amen.
You know, but Lord, you know, I didn't say, and I kind of lost it in that board meeting. I ain't going to never able to testify no more. I ruined that testimony, Lord. How, Negro, are you going to do that? How are you going to show them your love? He's the Savior. He's got it covered. This woman, she had all kinds of strikes against her. But it was through her testimony that that town believed. He's the Savior of the world. Okay, we heard your testimony, but now we really know. He is the light. The pressure is off. He's in relationship with us. He's in this love thing with us. He's in this love thing with us. This love affair with us. He has this love affair going with us. That's what he's all about. And he is committed. He is vested. He never tells me to just get over it. Whatever it is. And when I was driving one day, the Lord told me that he said, I'm not telling you to just get over this. Because if you could just get over it, I wouldn't have needed to die for you. If you could have figured it out, if you have somehow conquered this, why would I have needed to die? He paid the price for our sins. He conquered it. We are conquerors now through him. He will get us over it when in his time. He loves us. He knows we can't get over it. Whatever it is, he knows. Just like he knew where Adam was. He was hiding. He knew about this woman's situation. He knows before, but he wants to be in relationship with us. So he's going to talk to us about it. He's going to bring us along. You know, as much as we're able to comprehend, he's like, oh, God, I thank you. I get it now. But it's never ending. He is the God of love. He's got God-sized love to reveal to us. So he initiated his relationship with us. He is vested. He's committed. He's never going to stop with us. And that's all. Praise the Lord. Praise him. So we're going to actually have prayer now.